This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ball holding and looking out in front to Vooch. Vooch, one bounce, dribble handoff to Kobe. Kobe steps back, leans in. The pass to Vooch, turnaround foul line up. Air ball, ball game over. Oh, no!
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What a game it was in the Big Apple last night. The Bulls and the Knicks, they go to overtime. What a call there as well by Chuck Swirsky. We'll talk to Chuck in just seconds. A reminder, the Bulls tomorrow, they will face the Suns, host the Suns at the United Center. Pregame begins right here on The Score at 3:45. Chuck Swirsky with us now on 670 The Score. Chuck, our first chance to talk. How are you doing this evening? Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Judson. Thank you.
So that call of yours last night, I've heard it many of times today. That was just hard to swallow, especially if it feels like, you know, you're sensing perhaps a tie or overtime game on that call of yours.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, you had 8 seconds, and in the NBA, Judson, as you know, 8 seconds is an eternity. So they went with a dribble handoff. And Kobe, if you examine that play, if you see the clip, so Kobe had the ball and he did a crossover and then he did a stutter step towards the basket at the top of the circle. Then he backed it out and the switch was with Precious Achiuwa, who's about 6'8", 6'9". And normally you get a guard against a big and a switch, and normally you're going to be able to beat him off the dribble. But two things happened. Number one, the clock was expiring, obviously. And secondly, Achiuwa did not go for the head and shoulder fake from Kobe. So you had two elements with the clock winding down. And then when Kobe leaned forward, I think at the last moment you saw Vooch open. And he got the ball to Vooch. And then Vooch did a turnaround jumper. And it was off balance and it drew air. And that's how the game ended. And, I mean, if you look in regulation, there was a great play with Vooch, and he pinned down his man underneath the basket, and Bridges came out of nowhere and blocked that shot. Had Vooch used his left hand, I think the Bulls would have won it, but it's easy to say that now when everything is a bang-bang play in the semicircle.
Yeah, and Kobe raised his hand and said, I never should have passed. So I think Vooch was probably shocked. There was less than 2 seconds on the clock.
Right.
I think Kobe had full intention of shooting it, then got stuck, as you mentioned, defensively, and decided to give it up. Too little, too late. I will say this, though. Josh Giddey, 27 points, 16 rebounds, the double-double last night. Have you watched his game grow? Are you seeing him get more comfortable in a Bulls uniform?
Well, I am. I think offensively, there's no question that he's got a skill set. He's really worked on his shooting. And if you examine during the course of the month of February, it's really improved. I mean, he's shooting like 48% from the field, 47% from three, nearly 80% from the foul line. He had a monster game, as you mentioned, against the Knicks. I think he works at it defensively. I don't think he'll ever make all NBA defensive team, but at least, you know, he puts the effort in. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we go down the stretch. In how many games do we have left now? 27, something like that, 27, 26, around that area. And Judson, I think, you know, I think they're going to evaluate everyone in the offseason.
The segment with Chuck Swirsky, sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union. Chuck, you know, it's a void with the absence of Zach LaVine, but for many, that's going to mean an opportunity. Who could you see start to, you know, you're not going to have anyone fill it up as well as Zach did on this team, but who do you think is going to take advantage of that opportunity and continue to get better with experience in the league?
Well, I mean, what you're going to see is what has happened since that trade. I mean, Kobe is now targeted, and he's seeing a lot of double-team blitzes, almost exactly what the Bulls did with Jalen Brunson yesterday. I thought the Bulls played Brunson as well as I've ever seen, because they came at him early with a double team as soon as he crossed the half court line. So I think Kobe's seen a lot of that because the emphasis now is on Kobe with the absence of Zach. I think you're going to see, obviously, Vooch get into the flow and take a little bit more shots than he has. And so these shots will come by committee. It's not going to all of a sudden, you know, player X comes into the game and he's going to get 15 shots. It won't work that way. But I am encouraged with the fact that last night, with the loss of Jalen Smith, who will not play tomorrow, and with Williams sidelined for at least 2 weeks, that Julian Phillips came off the bench and played his best game of the month. In fact, probably his best game in about 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm not just talking about the points. He had 12 and the 6 rebounds, which is a plus, because the athleticism that he has is really impressive. But he moved well off the ball, and he wasn't just stuck in a corner, although he hit a corner three. And so when I examine his game, if he can develop some playmaking skills with the ball, cutting to the rim as a hard cutter, I think that, you know, he's going to blossom into a really good either rotational player or certainly a spot starter.
You know, Chuck, one of our major conversations tonight has been the state of the NBA. The NBA has been getting beaten up a lot, you know, not only because of what NBA All-Star Weekend looked like and the attempt to kind of do that mini tournament, but at the same time, how popular the Four Nations face-off was with the NHL. And then you had Draymond Green at the All-Star Game, calling the game boring, in his own words. Yeah. You've seen it all. What do you make of the state of today's NBA game?
Well, I mean, I've been in it 27 years, and even before then, I covered it. So I'm biased. So, Judson, I'm not going to, you know, crush the NBA. I love the game. I love the sport. I love the athletes. I think the coaches do a phenomenal job. You know, can there be improvement? Absolutely. I mean, you know, Draymond Green is right there in the trenches. So, I mean, from a credibility standpoint, here's a guy that's probably going to go into the Hall of Fame in large part because he's probably been the glue to that ball club. I mean, Steph Curry is the greatest player, you know, in that franchise history. But I'm just talking about the guy who did a lot of dirty work. I mean, he was not the best shooter nor scorer. He was not finesse, but he's a winning player. So when you get a guy like Draymond Green, who's also eyeing a job as a commentator when his playing days are over,
sure,
and he's probably looking to get a gig, whether it's going to be at one of the networks. And so he probably wants to say something that will put his name out there, which it did, obviously, when he was interviewed on the TNT broadcast. So, you know, does he have an agenda? Maybe, maybe not. Only he can answer that. But I do think that it's going to be interesting with the competition committee, what they're going to suggest in the offseason, because I do think the physicality of the game needs to return. I do think that we've swung with the pendulum from a lot of defense to now there's a lot of offense, and the offense now is triggered by analytics who are sending players to corners, and you dribble drive into the rim, and instead of taking a clean path to the basket for a layup, you're going deep in the lane and then kicking it out to a corner for a corner three, which is the closest to the rim when you shoot a three. So I think, you know, the league is going to have to look into that. And I don't think there's going to be any dramatic change, but I think the league needs to do, which they do every year, how can they improve the game?
Yeah, Chuck, you know, I've been so impressed with baseball over the last number of years that they've had ideas, and a lot of it has to do with Theo Epstein. They had ideas, they had thoughts, they listened to their fan base, they tried it out in the minor leagues and the independent leagues, they got the evidence of what they wanted or didn't want, and then they applied it to Major League Baseball, like we're watching right now with the automated balls and strikes in spring training. And the NBA, I hope is being forward-thinking, and I'm with you, by the way. I disagree with Draymond Green. There are bad teams in every sport. I watched the Celtics and the Cavs the other night, and not a moment was I bored in that game that I was watching and not thinking that they had great players, great strategy, and great effort. But it also, you should be day in, day out, Adam Silver, considering what should we perhaps be trying in the G League that we could apply to the NBA maybe someday?
Well, I mean, you know, what the G League does is that they have target time. And target time is something that I'm very familiar with because I do games in Canada during the summer with the Canadian Elite Basketball League. So with 4 minutes to go, now in the G League, they do it in overtime. But in the CEBL, at the four-minute mark, the first dead ball, they implement target time. So let's say the score is 80 to 70. Well, they add 9 points. So the first team to 89 wins. And in the G League, if it goes into overtime, I think it's 7 points. So the first team to get 7 points wins the game. In the NBA, if they went to target time, that game would be over probably within a minute and a half, 2 minutes, because if you put in a 9-point window, for example, these players would just come down. I mean, can you see Steph Curry in target time? I mean, that game would be over yeah. after three possessions.
Yeah, he is target.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the thing that has to happen, and I know that Adam Silver has talked and the players have come in. I mean, my gosh, I mean, last year you've got all these Hall of Fame players going into the locker rooms and telling the players about what it was like to compete for an All-Star game. And some of these players weren't even born to see a Larry Bird, for example. But the players have got to play hard. And I don't want to throw everything on the players. But, I mean, they've got to get back to the point where there's some pride. I mean, we just saw the nations in hockey. And the reason why people gravitated was because these teams were going at it. And there was pride. And these players put their careers on the line by emulating what got them there. And what got them there to become great players or selected for these teams was skill, hard work, passion, determination, and love. And so when fans are watching an All-Star game and they're seeing guys come over the midcourt line and just jack it up or throw in a 50-foot lob pass and they're throwing it off the glass and then the guy does a windmill slam, well, that's not the way the game is played. I mean, if they want entertainment, they've got it. But a lot of people didn't even understand what the NBA was up to with these Team Chuck and Team Shaq and Team Kenny and Candace Parker's team or whatever. And then all of a sudden you have this interruption to honor, you know, the TNT show with Ernie and Kenny and Shaq and Chuck. And that's all well and good, but there was a better time to do that. You didn't need a 16-minute delay. You got players, you know, they've just worked out in a game, and now all of a sudden they're saying, take a 16-minute break? I don't get it.
I don't either, especially since they're just going to another network. Like, they're not, you know, I mean, they paid them homage.
I mean, I'm glad, listen, the show has been phenomenal.
So good.
It's been great for the NBA, but they could have picked a better, I mean, if you want to honor them, how about before the game? Or do something where, you know, you can say, hey, on All-Star Saturday night, this is what we're doing. And so you can make it, you know, you can bring out all the big name stars and all that good stuff. But the Sunday game should be about the game, not about, you know, I just don't. Kevin Hart, I mean, he was horrible.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah, I know. It's like, hey, you know, have a writer. Do something about it. Chuck, cannot wait. Listen, tomorrow night, Suns, Bulls, 3:45, pregame begins. You'll have the call. Thanks for joining us this evening. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there he is, the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, 6-7 The Score. And again, that was a hell of a game last night. Coby White should have put it up. They lose 113-111, a chance to do it all again at the United Center. You know, I felt what Chuck was talking about there, right? Because he's seen it all. He's done it all. So can we celebrate a little bit what LeBron did last night? Am I glazing? Was that the term that J.J. Redick used? Am I glazing J.J. Redick too much as he glazed LeBron James? But listen to this. So I get it. LeBron wasn't in the All-Star game. They played the Hornets. Lost to the Hornets, by the way. Let's get going, Luka. And then on a back-to-back, they got in at 3 a.m. against the Portland Trail Blazers. 22 years in, 40 years old. They won that game. LeBron had 40 points. Here was J.J. Redick after the game as head coach.
He really just defies anything that's normal. And not just the physical feats and the plays. It's the mentality. He is, again, I saw the other day, he's a billionaire. And he's playing on the second night of a back-to-back at 40 after 22 years with every frickin' record and every accolade. And the kids will say that I'm glazing him. He's one of the greatest competitors. And Nate and I were talking about before the game. It's like, he's amazing to coach. He brings it every single day. He sets the standard for how you're supposed to approach this craft. And that's, to me, the most incredible thing. It's just the mindset to do it. Get up the next day, do it, get up the next day, do it, over and over and over again.
It's the spirit of competition, right? It's the spirit of competition that we want. It's what works so well for the Four Nations face-off, although I still say they hijacked the international game, which works so well in hockey. It was like, look at these NHL players trying hard. Well, no, they're hockey players that are playing for their country. But when I look at LeBron, who was catching heat for not being at his All-Star game, if I'm a Lakers fan, then damn it, I want my 40-year-old superstar resting so he can go out there and kill himself with the uniform that he's wearing that pays him. I'm totally good with that. Because if that was a Bulls player in a similar situation, then that's where we want the success to be had. But it all comes back to just pure, outright competition. It's something that we have gotten away from, and you can blame it on whatever you want. But all I'll tell you is this. Somebody's enjoying it. Somebody's enjoying it with a $76 billion deal over 10 years for the NBA.
So I hear a lot of people talking about the fix. How do you fix in terms of like the All-Star weekend? How do you get people to care? And a lot of people are like, oh, just throw more money at them. Like, hey, the person who wins the dunk contest should just get $5 million. It's like, okay, that can be a fix, but how does that fix pride? If everything is just like, oh, just throw money at them, like that only goes so far. At some point, it's like, am I willing to put my life on the line, my health, everything on the line for money? That's where it's like there needs to be more pride with the sport. And I love the NBA. It's one of my favorite sports, but they are consistently lacking pride.
And there was money on the line, and it was okay. But again, most likely, you're a pretty wealthy man if you're playing in the NBA All-Star game. And are you really going to be motivated for Team Chuck versus Team Kenny versus Team Howard or you know, whoever? All this, the answer is no, because we watched it play out in real time.
There's just too much change. Like, just play the game, East, West. If you want to have U.S. versus world, great. But if you confuse it, why should I watch?
Yeah, or stop doing it, right? And I try to remind myself of this as I get older and older, because I'm assuming, Robbie, at your age, the Home Run Derby probably looks a little redundant to you, right? Because I remind myself, this is for the youths. This is for the kids. It's also for clip culture. You know, the slam dunk contest does the best for the NBA probably through their socials.
100%.
Where they can have someone jump over a car. So think about all the different ways. But things look different as a kid. Things look shinier as a kid. When you go, why is there no defense? A kid's probably going like, that was awesome. That was a 360 dunk. Right? Like, let me watch that over and over on TikTok. Sometimes we just have to say, it's not for us. It's not going to be perfect for the way that we want it or the way that we used to be or the way that we romanticize it. That some of these things are just shiny, shiny things for kids to try to get them into the game. So maybe 25 years down the line, they'll be yelling and how people aren't trying hard enough, but you're still going to games and watching it on television.
I think you made a great point there. Like, it isn't for us. I think any All-Star game is not for us. It is for to grow the game.
It used to be, it felt like.
Exactly. But for the NBA this year, I feel like they were confused because they want to, you know, have the clip culture. They want to attract the younger audience, but then they have Kevin Hart out there. And then they're explaining a show that's ending that most of these kids have no idea what it is.
The NBA needed Caitlin Clark. You know, I mean, that's where they're at. They took a shot. She said no thanks.
So that's where it's like they want to attract the youth, but they're also trying to cater to the adults, and I don't think the adults necessarily care.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things. I do think it's important that we keep pressing on the NBA to try to figure it out, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be really difficult with the money that is made by these players, and they're wondering, why am I giving everything for an exhibition game where a lot of people aren't interested? So I think part of evolving, when you evolve, sometimes you have to go, there's no fixing that. It's just broken. And that's kind of where I am with the NBA All-Star game. The Cubs have made a roster move. They've signed a new player, not named Justin Turner, someone since Justin Turner. We'll tell you about that. Also, where is your confidence level in manager Craig Counsell to get the Cubs to the playoffs? That's coming up next. You're listening to 6-7 The Score.
But dude averages 18 yards after
catch. We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Core.
I mean, we've got to get better, man. Like, the team we're chasing is 10 games ahead of us. You got to get better.
and we should try to be building 90-win teams here. I mean, you know, like that's like what you have to do to, you know, that's a playoff standard. I mean, that's what you got to get to be safely in the playoffs, right? Safely in the tournament. So from that perspective, you know, we got a ways to go.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was Craig Council. Back in September, you could hear kind of the, you know, the weight of the season, finishing with 83 wins. And he mentioned we finished 10 wins behind. Well, that 10 was by his former club. That was the Milwaukee Brewers that had 93 wins. And let's talk a little Cubs baseball here. Where's your confidence level in manager Craig Council? Also, I'm curious, do you think that this is a 91 team? According to Pecota, their projections have them as a 90.6 win team. I'd like to hear someone explain to me how. I still have some question marks about that. Before we dive into Craig Council, I thought this was some great audio today. Pete Crow Armstrong, I think I'd forgotten he was number 52. It's like, what is he, an NFL center? Well, PCA now has a new number on his back. How did he come upon now wearing number 4? This is good from the Marquee Sports Network.
A few different things. Jed thought I needed a fast guy number. And Jed's really good about coming down and for like, for lack of better terms, like being one of the guys. So I've appreciated his openness to my shenanigans and the hairs and all that stuff. So I've appreciated that relationship. But we were outside and we were shooting hoops before stretch, and he came over. He was like kind of talking some crap, like, "Hey, you're wearing a lineman's number and all this stuff." And so he said, "If I make this shot, you have to change your number." And I wasn't gonna say no to the boss.
Well done by Jed. Number 4 looks a lot better on PCA than number 52. Besides shooting hoops, Jed has been busy as well. The Cubs reportedly, I don't think they made it official yet, but they have signed more outfield depth and a very speedy Travis Jankowski. Not a great hitter, but a tremendous athlete. I've seen Jankowski play was last with the Rangers. He's had a 10-year career, so that is out there that the Cubs reportedly have signed Travis Jankowski. The Cubs, they showed up again today. What do they keep doing this spring? Well, they just beat the $392 million Dodgers. Not that they're playing a lot of their everyday guys, but the Cubs yesterday beat the Dodgers 12-4 in Cactus League play. They did so again today. They beat them 7-3. Jordan Wicks got the start. Won a couple innings. Struck out a couple, did not allow a run. Miguel Amaya homered. So the Cubs, you know, spring training baseball, wins don't matter, but winning is ultimately better than losing. Kyle Tucker, new star of the Cubs, well, he's got high expectations for this team.
You know, we have a really good ball club, and I think we have a really good opportunity to have a lot of success this year and, you know, make it to the playoffs and have a run at the World Series. So, you know, I say it every year, that's our goal, to, you know, get to the World Series and win. So I don't see a whole lot of point in showing up just to come out and play some games and go home at the end of the day. You want to come up, show up, and win. You know, that's kind of what our jobs are revolved around, and, you know, that's what we like to do. We don't like to just come out here and just kind of run around. We want to come out and win games and, you know, play it at a high level and have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, good for you, Kyle. That should be your plan. Now, hey, I don't know if the Cubs ultimately are built to be a World Series team. Right, when I take a look at this team and I ask myself, okay, so who's on a prove it year? Right? Who needs to prove it? Now, perhaps the most, or the one who would like to prove it the most, is the one you just heard from, Kyle Tucker. Because he, if he continues on the way he's at, his 162 game average is 32 home runs, 107 RBI. So he, if he proves that yet again, he is in line to make millions upon millions upon millions. He could be, arguably, if he has a great year, the highest paid free agent as he approaches free agency. So he'd like to prove it, but he is somewhat of a proven commodity. But for me, my prove it guy is a little bit of Craig Council. The manager that was paid 16 months ago to be the highest paid manager in the history of Major League Baseball. You ever watch MLB Network? I think Brian Kenny does a terrific job. Like, Kenny does a really great job of kind of weaving in through all of the analytics, but also can be a baseball guy and can talk baseball. And so Brian Kenny did his top 10 managers in baseball not too long ago. This was, what, 3 days ago? Craig Council did not make his top 10 list. Number three was Mike Schilt. Number two was Bruce Bochy. Number one was A.J. Hinch. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. I thought Craig Counsell was seen as one of the best managers in all of baseball. You tell me he's fallen out of the top 10 because the Cubs won 83 games last year. But I'll say this. One of the things that has not bode well so far for Craig Counsell is how well the Brewers did without him. The Cubs last year had the seventh highest payroll. They won 83 games. The Brewers had the 21st highest payroll. They won 93 games with Pat Murphy. Those of you that are college baseball fans probably know Pat Murphy better than Major League Baseball fans. Pat Murphy had a ton of success at Arizona State University. I believe he was a coach at Notre Dame before that. And Murphy had a brief interim manager stint with the Padres. Other than that, he's pretty new to the job. And what happened? The Brewers, with a low payroll, rolled on to 93 wins and dominated the NL Central. Then on the other side, the Cubs couldn't stop blowing leads and couldn't stop blowing saves. I thought that Craig Counsell was really stuck in his way with first Albert Alzolay, kept running him out there, and then did something similar with Hector Neris. The Cubs, I think, had 26 blown saves. They also had a terrible 2 months of baseball where they could not hit. They could not get the big hit. And at times, the team just looked really flat. And even Craig Counsell looked a little bored at times and didn't try to change things up and get ejected. Or, you know, that was the brilliance of Joe Maddon for me. I don't know how I would work today between the onesies and the zoo animals, but damn it, Joe Maddon kept it fresh. Joe Maddon, it seemed like he knew when to push on a guy, you know, when to put his arm around a guy. He seemed to read people. I thought Craig Counsell struggled reading the back end of a ball game and perhaps reading people as well, as his team didn't seem to have a lot of fight. Now, it's tough to fight when you're not hitting, but you know what you can do? You can, like, actually fight or do something. You know, there are ways that you can manufacture doing something new. You know, if you get into dust up in baseball, because I'm not calling for an all out brawl or throwing at someone or whatnot, but you know, guys are guys. Like when I was in high school, I didn't go to high school parties looking for fights, but if something happened, we would talk about it for literally the next month and a half. I mean, it just changed the temperature in the room. So to pretend like a bunch of dudes, a bunch of ballplayers are that different, they're really not. But the Cubs had no disruption. It felt like to change the malaise that they were in. And I pointed a manager for that. And I thought that getting Craig Counsell was a great move because I've watched the Brewers overperform, right? I've watched their payroll be low and see them in the playoffs year after year. Craig Counsell was a do more with less kind of manager. And you thought, boy, what could he do if he had more? Well, he got more. And he did less. 83 wins, the Brewers had 93 wins. So the proof it for Craig Counsell is, because I'm telling you, if the Brewers rip off another 90 wins this year with the team that they had, and they traded Corbin Burns before last year's team, but then you start wondering, was Craig Counsell ultimately propped up by the organization? And did the Cubs overpay because David Ross won 83 games 2 years ago? Ron Coomer this morning, 6-7 to the score, talking about, by the way, he was almost Mullion Hall. Coomer had a busy day, also calling Cubs baseball, did a great job with Matt Spiegel today. But here's Ron Coomer on, is there urgency around this Cubs team?
And I would say probably yes. Everybody knows that, you know, Jed's deal is up at the end of the year, and he, you know, I'm 100% sure he wants to stay. And we've all been in that situation where your contract's up and you want to do well. And, you know, so, yeah, sure. I would say there. I'm sure the veteran players all know it. I'm sure, you know, the manager knows it. Everybody knows it. So I would say yes, just because of common sense, right? You know that that's the case. And I, you know, when you look at the Cubs roster also, it kind of shows, you know, you're signing veteran players, you're signing veteran bench players, which we have not done in a while. And I think that shows too. I think it's a good move for the Cubs. I really do.
You know, it's interesting. So Ron Coomer mentions the need for there to be urgency because Jed Hoyer is on the last year of his deal, and Jed has acknowledged he doesn't really know where he stands with the organization. So what does that mean? It feels a little bit like playoffs are bust for Jed Hoyer's tenure with the Cubs. And so here is the manager that he hired, that he gave, you know, $8 million a year for for 5 years, which is a $40 million a year, the most ever given to a manager. And so now Craig Counsell actually does have less. Last year, he had the seventh highest payroll. This year, the 12th highest payroll in Major League Baseball. So the guy that Hoyer thought was that bright of a baseball mind may ultimately need to be better to help Jed Hoyer save his job, right? I see this as a good to very good team. What could make them very good to great, potentially, is whether or not Craig Counsell is the manager that we believe him to be. But it's not an easy start for this bunch, right? It's not an easy start going to Japan. Ron Coomer talked about that.
I guess this is really the only way you can have teams go over there,
yeah,
play, and come back, and still try to get them enough rest to where the trip doesn't, you know, just throw you for an absolute loop, you know, and cost you game post, you know, trip to Japan. So, MLB's trying hard. I know they are. I've never been a big fan of all these games like this where it takes the teams way out of their comfort zone of what they do. But, they're growing the game, and then you can't deny that. It's, you know, we're in London, and, you know, we did a game in Iowa the year before. Major League Baseball did a great job there, just, you know, making it convenient for everybody at that site. In London was the same thing. The travel was terrible, but, you know, and now Japan. So, they're growing the game, and someone's got to go over there. It just seems kind of odd that the Cubs are one of those teams that go over every year. But I was never a fan of them. I just think they're very difficult on the players in playing the games. They just are.
Yeah, Coombe sugarcoated until he didn't at the end there. The thing about these Tokyo trips is, especially if you're a player getting to go, it seems like 20 years down the line, this is something that you will really think back to and go, what an amazing experience that was. But as for the 2025 Cubs, is it a great way to start the season? And with the amount of travel that they have, now, granted, they do have a good week to rest once they get back, but you just heard, you know, Coomer knows a lot more about it than I do, that it is ultimately a grind. And it is a tough, tough way to start your season. And by the way, Bob Nightingale told us a week ago that it's going to be 90-95% Dodgers fans for Cubs home games. So that's where you're sitting. Rob, you have any other prove it guys we should acknowledge? I've got Craig Counsell, Kyle Tucker there for obvious reasons.
Yeah, you took one of mine right there of Kyle Tucker. Is he a $400 million player? He has to prove that this year before he heads into pre-agency. The other one I have two more. PCA. They traded Cody Bellinger to open up the room for PCA. He had a good last year, a good rookie year. He started off cold, got really hot. He talks a lot of swag. He has a lot of swagger behind it. Can he back it up, and can he prove that he can do this for the foreseeable future? Can he be the Cubs center fielder? Was this just a fluke thing? I want him to prove it. I think he can. And the other one is Ryan Pressly. He waived his no-trade clause to come here because he wanted to be a closer again because Josh Hader took that over in Houston. And the Cubs last year had more than 29 blown saves. He needs to prove this year that as a 36-year-old, he can be the no-doubt closer every time the game is in a three-run situation. He needs to prove that this year in order to save his career and in order to prove that he can do that.
Yeah, he's going after another job, you know, as a 36 years old. That is pushing towards the end there. I would also push back on the Cubs trading Cody Bellinger to open up room for PCA. They opened up room in the wallet or added some back into it, right? I mean, if you wanted to convince me that this team has a chance to win 91 games and go deep into the playoffs, well, then you either needed to add Alex Bregman, or you needed to keep Cody Bellinger and have him be a first baseman or play. Because one of his greatest attributes is he is an incredible defender at a lot of different places, first base or the outfield, right? Whether you move on from Michael Busch or otherwise. But you're right about PCA. And I like his, do we call it swag? Don't the kids say Riz?
He's got the Riz. He's got the confidence.
Can we tell people what Riz means?
Riz means, Riz?
I can tell you it means charisma.
Yes.
That's what, right?
That's the PG way of saying it, yeah.
I had to look it up. But yeah, it's, he has charisma. But you know what? Like, don't,
But here's the thing. Like, let's say Tom Ricketts is like, you know what? I'm going to spend as much money as possible because I have to win today. If that was the mindset, they wouldn't have traded for Cody Bellinger. And what is a better lineup? Cody Bellinger or with PCA? It's like, it has to be with Cody Bellinger. That's why there's a lot of pressure on him for me. Because it's like, oh, they got rid of this guy not only because they're cheap, because they have so much faith in you to be the guy.
Right. And Jed Hoyer's got faith in Craig Counsell to be able to do more with less, but he's ultimately is going to have to prove it this year. Let's finish with a little Four Nations face-off. What ultimately was lost in translation as the NBA gets pummeled after international play by hockey? That's next.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
More exciting, the Four Nations face-off finale, or my two-year-old daughter pooping on the potty for the first time. We'll have to debate that another time, but congratulations to Layla for getting it done. She's obviously going to be a genius. Also, the Four Nations face-off was phenomenal. How about that? You know, there was some purity to it, as it just was downright, outright competition. There was no shiny medal. Well, there's probably a trophy. I don't know. But the players didn't care. Ultimately, that's the point. It was an exhibition game where we're not used to necessarily, I think, of the U.S. being the underdog. Baseball has gone incredibly global, right? And we still expect ourselves to win, even if we're playing Japan or Dominican Republic. It's our game. The NBA has won five consecutive gold medals, or basketball players have won five consecutive gold medals in the Olympics. I think some people have forgotten that. But hockey is not our game. Our rival doesn't even consider us our rival, which gives you an idea of where we stand. Canada, our rival, their rival is Russia. Eddie Olczyk said that on 670 The Score this week. So the underdog. And then you go ahead and you implement international play. You make it about pride. You make it about playing for your country. And that's what works so well for the Four Nations face-off. But you feel a little bit like the victory lap has gotten out of control for the NHL. I keep reading that the NHL had 9.7 million viewers. It's the most watched NHL game of all time in the Four Nations face-off. I'm sorry, I don't remember seeing the Edmonton Oilers out there and Connor McDavid. Remind me again who the two NHL teams were that were playing in the Four Nations face-off to set these records. It was put together by the NHL, who ultimately tapped into what works the best for hockey, and that's international play. One of the most famous moments in sports in our country is the Miracle on Ice. Hockey is like the fourth most popular, if that. But Miracle on Ice worked so much because we were underdogs and because they were representing the United States of America. Let's listen to PK Subban, former NHL hockey player on ESPN. When I say getting carried away a little bit, here's what he had to say.
Sidney Crosby, Hockey Canada, those players, both Canada and U.S., it was the players that did that for the Four Nations. That's not the league. The league set it up, but the players went out there and decided and said, you know what, boys? We're all in. When is the NBA going to do that? Because, you know, I haven't sat down and watched the NBA consistently since Kobe. Since Kobe has died, I have not sat down and watched the NBA consistently. I love basketball. Love the players. I think LeBron's great. I think KD's great. Steph Curry. Love watching them. But you got to be on the court. You got to be there. And when you're there, you got to go all in. The fans got to feel that they're getting their money's worth. And right now, there's a big difference between what the NHL's doing with those events and what the NBA is doing. Four Nations works because the players are all in.
All right. Four Nations works because the players are all in of something that we can't get enough of, and that is when it comes to international play and hockey involved. So if you want to talk about the NBA All-Star Game, that's fine. We can have a conversation about how it has real problems. But comparing the dedication that we just watched in the Four Nations face-off for Canada and the U.S. and Finland and Sweden, take those four. All right, those four. We're against what? Team Chuck? Team Kenny, Team Shaq, and Team Candace, right? Let's remember that when it comes to basketball, NBA players do show up. That's why they've won 5 consecutive gold medals. They've grown the game that they created, we created, and then they go ahead, they show up, and they do play.
So you didn't grow up, you know, wanting to play for Team Chuck? You didn't want to represent the Team Chuck?
No. I had the Team USA, that cartoonish Team USA jersey that was wildly popular. Like, I love Team USA, but none of that was like Team Larry or Team Stockton. That's, you know, let's celebrate what the NHL did. I think they really grew their game, and it was phenomenal. But I really don't think that we can drag the NBA All-Star game because the NHL went and hijacked our love for international play. That's all I'm saying. NBA needs to be fixed. The All-Star game needs to be fixed in the NBA. But I was not watching 2 NHL teams play. That's not at all what I tuned in for. They tricked the system, man. Well done. Well done by the NHL. Robbie Treno, well done by you tonight. I enjoyed it. If you missed anything, catch it all on the Odyssey app, on the Rewind function. Mike Sando talks NFL with us, 6 o'clock hour. Patrick Finley was great on the Combine and the Bears, and love talking to Chuck Swirsky in the 8 o'clock hour as well. That will do it for us. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.